I trust I'm not alone in this evening, but I love Christmas Eve. I love the music. I love the sights, the candlelight in just a little bit. Most of all, I think what I love about Christmas Eve at this point in particular are the memories. I know for many of you, your memories connected to Christmas Eve are connected very strongly to this place. Many of you have been here for a long time and can think back on the myriad Christmas Eve services that have taken place in this sanctuary you've been a part of. Maybe you can remember being one of the little ones up front singing, or maybe your children were one of the little ones up front, and now they're not so little, maybe even have little ones of their own. For me, my memories go back in particular to the church I grew up in. My father, many of you know, was a Presbyterian minister, and as I was growing up, he served two churches that were yoked together. That means it was two churches that shared one pastor. So each Christmas Eve would roll around, and those two churches would alternate each year which church got the early service and which church got the late service. So most of the crowd at those two services was a totally different crowd. The one thing that was the same, of course, was the pastor and his family. So from a young age, we got used to, even in small churches, being at two different services, one at the church beside where we lived and one down the road at the church in the country. Most of my memories go back in particular to the church that was in the country, and I can, in this moment, picture perfectly a Christmas Eve service at Middle Presbyterian Church in Mount Pleasant, Pennsylvania, a little church in the country, not much to it, kind of a square sanctuary, not much to up front going on. I remember in particular the one year that the church really splurged, small country churches didn't have that opportunity very often, really splurged and bought spotlights that they put outside of the church and shone on the stained glass windows so we could see the beauty of the stained glass windows even in the evening on Christmas Eve in particular. It was a wonderful time. I remember standing there with my mom and my sister and all the other folks crammed into this little church. And most of those Christmas Eves, I remember at least, we had a lesson in carols service. It was a time where there would be a reading from Scripture, from the Nativity story, in either Matthew or Luke, usually both and to some degree. And then we would sing one of the famous Christmas carols. It's how I got to know the Christmas carols. I know Marilyn, where's Marilyn? Marilyn Mills. Marilyn's been working hard over the last few weeks in particular with our Logos kids to make sure that they know the Christmas carols. How important it is that a part of our tradition and passing on our tradition is singing those songs. And I can remember so vividly singing those songs with my mother on one side, my sister on the other side, hymn after hymn after hymn, some of which I loved, some like Lo, How a Rose Air Blooming. I never know how it got in the hymnal. But we all have those songs, right, that we love. And I remember singing Silent Night with candlelight, like we'll be doing this evening. I remember singing Away in a Manger in O Little Town of Bethlehem. And they're special, special songs for me. But as I've grown, as I've studied the Scriptures, as I've been taught in the Scriptures, what I've come to learn is, as beautiful as those songs are, as important as the memories that we have that are connected to them are, they are terrible history. They don't tell the story like it really was. Can you imagine a baby being born and calling that all is calm and all is bright? How many of you have had children or grandchildren and could say, when that child was born, we didn't hear a thing? Can you imagine that the day Jesus was born, that that child made no sounds? How disconcerting that would have been, right? We want to hear the baby cry for the first time. That's the most beautiful sound to a mother or a father's ears, is the first cry of their child. Yet in our songs, we want to say, no crying he makes, right? Jesus was a perfect baby, didn't do anything. Probably didn't even need diapers, right? What an amazing child that miraculous Jesus was. What we've come to learn and know in particular is the story as it was is not told in our songs. Our songs have a place, an important place in our life and in our worship, but they don't tell the story like it was, like it is. The one song that I think really starts to get at it, for me at least, is O Come, Emmanuel. Because the name Emmanuel has come to mean so much more to me than the name of Jesus. The fact that Jesus came to be and continues to be God with us is the most miraculous claim, the most, in some ways, revolutionary claim we can make as people of faith. when we come to celebrate Christmas Eve, when we remember together what happened on that first Christmas, it's so important for us to remember that what God did in that time was to stoop low enough to become one of us. That God, the Almighty God of the universe, deigned to take on flesh and to cry as a baby and to be a brat as an adolescent, to learn important skills, to teach and to heal and to challenge and to comfort and to ultimately give his life on a cross and to be raised from the grave so that through Jesus' birth and life and death and resurrection and Jesus' promised return through Emmanuel, we know that this is not all there is. We know that sin and death do not get the last word. And even as we gather in this special place, in this special moment, and it seems like the world is so far away, just outside those doors, there is darkness and there is real life. And many of us have come into this place from that. And so many of us will go away from this place into it. And the most important news that comes to us from Christmas is that God did not stay in a manger in Bethlehem. God grew up. God lived as one of us. God had important and still has important words for us. God died for us and rose from the grave for us. Did all of that for us when God did not have to. And that tells us just how much God loves us. That God is not just with us in the hymns, in the candlelight, in the opening of presents and the visits with family, but God is with us when real life steps in. When there is hurt and there is pain and there is confusion and there is violence and there is warfare. God has not stepped away. Indeed, God has stepped right into the middle of all of that, to be Emmanuel, to be God with us, not just this night, not just tomorrow morning, every single day of your life and mine, God is with us. Could there be better news? And can we even begin to imagine keeping that news to ourselves? This Christmas, next Christmas, every day in between and every day that follows, remember, God is with you and God is with me because God loves us and wants nothing, nothing but the best for us. That is good news. Let us go forth and share it. Amen.